Chapter 21, finally. I promise I'll only go 2 hours or less. How's that? Fair enough? This morning it was 1 o'clock when we quit, but we forgot to put the clock back, so I felt good about that. All right, Proverbs chapter 21. I have been enjoying Proverbs, and I've been enjoying preparing for it. God's been opening it up to me. And I'm very thankful for that. I kind of like a little bit of a slower pace. I'm not trying to preach the house down. And somebody told me this morning I was putting them to sleep. So that's okay. I can ramp it up, trust me. But every once in a while, you know what? It's kind of nice to have a calm dinner. I mean, we get rowdy at our house, and we get excited during dinner time and all wound up. But every once in a while, it's kind of nice to go, you guys, calm down. Let's just relax. Let's talk. And if you got something to say, you don't always have to say it at the top of your lungs. I'm all about top of my lungs. If I get fired up, I'll get fired up, and I'm going with it. Amen? But not every time. And I just enjoy this. I was thinking about how long it's taken, and like, should I really speed it up, or should I keep going slow? Because some of these verses, I could get lost in for weeks, and I'm not going to do that to you. But I felt like the Lord said, first thing that came into my mind is, with all thy getting, you know, get wisdom, with all thy getting, get understanding, you know, go after that thing. Set your heart on it. So I thought, as a pastor, it really doesn't hurt if I slow down and try to help folks really get a hold of the book of Proverbs. If it's the principal thing, therefore get it, then it doesn't hurt if we take our time and work our way through, and if it takes a while, it takes a while. Fair enough? So Proverbs chapter 21, and the nice part about it is I don't have an outline, I don't have a conclusion I got to hit, we're just going verse by verse, so I can keep going forever if I want, and I can stop if I want. There you go, so praise the Lord. And you always have the right to vote too. If I see you leaving, I'll go, I guess it's time to stop. I've always said that, people vote with their feet, you know what I'm saying? So you came today, so you're voting to be here, amen. Proverbs 21, verse 11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom of strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to help us now. We know, Lord, that this is a spiritual book. We know that it's spiritually discerned. We know that the natural man doesn't perceive the things of God. And we also know that once we're born again, Father, you've given us a new nature. So I pray now as we get into your holy words that you would reveal these things to us, that you would open them up to us. Lord, I desperately need you. And every person here desperately needs you tonight. Lord, there are people in this room all over the board and have all kinds of different struggles and problems and ups and downs and heartbreaks and joys. And we all are in different places. We're not all in the same place, but we're all in your hand, Lord. We're all in your body. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help each part tonight to receive the nourishment that it needs. According to your perfect will, I'm begging you, God, to be present. I'm begging you to make yourself real right now, not just to me, but to everybody in this room. I ask you to sit down next to each person, put your arm around them, and give them what they need. I ask you to help me in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So there's a beginner here. And the beginning of this subject is the scorner. And the interesting thing about him is that he is used for one purpose. He's used for the simple. And then you see the process there in the simple. The simple is made wise, and the wise receiveth knowledge. So there's a progress here for God to take a simple person, give a simple person wisdom, give a wise person knowledge, adding to wisdom. There's a growth process there that's all springboarded by a very negative thing. The negative thing is the scorner. When the scorner is punished. So thinking about this, starting with the scorner. A scorner is a scoffer, a derider. In Scripture, one who scoffs at religion, its ordinances and teachers, and who makes a mock of sin and the judgments and threatenings of God against sinners. Does that make sense? So somebody that scorns, mocks the things that are holy, mocks God's judgment, and rubs his sin in the face of God, saying, hell yeah, whatever, let God strike me dead if, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah, oh yeah, whatever. Like rubbing their sin in God's face, that's scorning. All right, so what does he say here? He says, what do we need to do with a scorner? Punish him. Can I say that this is why there's so very few wise people today? Because people are not punished for their sin. People are not punished for their scorning. Wait until our kids, I'm saying that to those of us who have little children that are still at home dependents on us. Wait until our kids are the ones running the country. My generation didn't get raised being disciplined. Very little discipline in my generation. The generation slightly behind me, or let's say those a decade or a little more than a decade, two decades behind me, the 20-year-olds today, were raised with absolutely no discipline whatsoever from what I can see. Now, the 20-year-olds are getting old enough to start having kids, and they're raising their kids completely in apostasy, completely in the dark. There's no punishment anymore for sin. People can commit crimes and get away with it. You have two people running for president who should both be in prison. Do you get the severity of that situation? One of them should be in prison for abusing women. I mean, the things that he's done should get him in massive trouble. The guy should have a record. You'd have a record. The other one should be in prison for a list of things we all know about. That's what you get to vote in. I read an article, I don't know if any of you have seen it or not, on Donald Trump when he was a kid. You know what his problem is? He never got punished for anything. He got away with murder. So you know what you got? You got an old man now who's 70 years old or something like that. He's in his 70s, correct? Early 70s? How old? 70 on the nose. He's 70 years old. And you know what he is? He is a fool. Bible says not to speak evil of the ruler of thy people. I still have a few days. He ain't ruling yet. And if he becomes the president, you won't hear me bashing him. How often have you heard me bashing Barack Obama? A few times I've preached against his policies or things like that, but not bashing him. We're supposed to pray for him. But he ain't the president yet. Neither of them are. So I'll keep talking about him. He's a lousy, rotten dirtbag who never got punished for anything he did. I ask the people, I have friends that live in New York, ask them, what do people around New York think? Because I'm thinking New Yorkers are going to vote for him. He said, people in New York can't stand the man. We hate him. I said, really? He's a New Yorker. I mean, you'd think they said, everywhere we go, it's his name on everything. We're sick of him. He's the most egomaniac. He's a psychotic. He's an arrogant egomaniac. Folks, he's a fool. Now, I mean, hopefully he's a fool that'll beef up our military. That would be great. Hopefully he's a fool that'll stand up and take care of ISIS. Hopefully he's a fool that can figure out a little bit about money and help the economy, whatever, you know, hopefully. I mean, hopefully. They're all liars. They're all salesmen. They all bait and switch. They all get in there and find out that they couldn't do what they wanted to do. It was going to cost them more than they thought it was going to cost them. And they all back off. So, you know, it is what it is. I really don't have much faith or stock in any of them. I am voting for King Jesus. Amen. I know a sword comes right out of his mouth and starts cutting off heads and the blood flows to the horse's bridle and it gets on, man. I mean, it's going to be something else. And he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He don't care about politics. He doesn't need anybody's money. He's got himself bankrolled. Donald Trump's poverty-stricken compared to Jesus. So I'm voting for him. But what you've got is a nation that has let scorners go unpunished. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 11. This one will apply with raising your kids when they're little, especially when they're little. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. God said, when they do wrong, get them and get them fast. Don't put them on death row for 20 years. Once they've been convicted, let me ask you a question. All these women come out accusing Donald Trump. Right? How many witnesses did you have to have in the Old Testament to condemn somebody? Two or more. You got what, 10? On top of that, you got his own personal testimony against himself. Oh, I was just kidding. That was just locker room talk. Tough. I shouldn't have to pay that. It doesn't matter. You confessed. But it was just, nope, I don't care. You're going to go on a show with a pervert and talk like a pervert? You got no class. Had no business being on this show in the first place. And then you confess things like you say you confessed? Go to jail. No, it didn't. I don't care. Go to jail. You got it in your heart. You're a danger to society anyways. You're a danger to women. Go to jail. Now, I know the liberals are capitalizing on that, but it is a truth. The man's a predator, according to his own mouth. Why? Because he got away with it. You know why Hillary won't change once she gets in office? Because she got away with it. It'll get worse, not better. When you commit a crime and get away with it, how many of you ever had your kids do that? Girls are the masters of it. Now, it's not fair. I know boys probably have their way of doing it. I do know this much about boys. I do know that they do know how to manipulate their mothers. Amen, gentlemen? Fellas, you got sons. Can you testify for me? You're just like, no, I know exactly what she needs. And she's like, oh, you're too hard on him. And how do you know? You never raised any sons. We had somebody say that before. He never raised any sons. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm a boy. And I had a daddy. And I had an Italian mama, so I got this whole thing down on steroids. You understand? It's like way bigger than normal. I know all about looking at mom when that big mean dad and watching her melt. Her face won't change. Her looks won't change. Her body language won't change. Those eyes connect, and you can see mama's compassionate, comforting soul come pouring out in your defense against that mean, angry father. And that's boys. I know that about boys. Girls? Oh, my goodness, man. Dad, can I have a piece of gum? No, it's my gum. Okay, here, have the pack, brat. Oh, my goodness, I can't stand this. Right? They know how to turn it on, man. And you know what? You know what I think the devil does sometimes in our heads, parents? Well, God hasn't always whooped you for everything you've ever done. God hasn't always disciplined you, has he? You don't want God to be hard on you like you're being on your children. Can I tell you something? When they're little, they need parents that are going to draw the line and back it up. Because what happens when you draw the line and you tell them, 1, 2, 3, I'll be back in 5 hours. She'll still be like, 974. Now I'm losing my foot. 1,272. Right. You know why? Because they got away with it. 1, 2, 3. Keep counting, mama. It's funny to me that every mother has her point. You know, when she hits 5, okay, she comes running, you know what I mean? And then the kid takes off.
Yeah.
So they know they got 5 shots.
Yes, sir.
Hey, look, that'll empty a cop's magazine like halfway or something. You understand how that translates into adulthood? You get my point? You know, I'm sick of this stuff. He says, stop. Put your hands up. He wasn't doing anything. His back was to me and I couldn't see his hands. And I'm screaming, put your hands up. You know what he's thinking? Mom used to scream at me all the time. She never did anything about it. But he's thinking, I got a wife and kids to go home to.
Yes,
and you turn around too fast. He didn't say turn around. He said, put your hands up and kneel down. And you turn around, bam! Oh, those terrible cops. He wants to go home. And you got an entire society, from the politicians to the little children, whose heart are fully set to do evil. Because there's no judgment against it. All right, so God says, deal with the scorner. Scorners to be punished. This is really difficult in a church setting. It's difficult. You know what you don't have today? You don't have churches that actually exercise any level of church discipline. It's just non-existent. I grew up seeing it. Man, in the 70s and 80s, there was a few old-time, leather-lunged, manly men pastors. You know what? People that are trying to serve God and trying to do right and have struggles in their life are never like, I mean, they can be afraid of the preacher because of what he represents to, like, in this strange way, but not like, they know, it's like mom and dad, okay? Does that make sense? Like, you know when you go to mom and dad, like, I'm going to be in huge trouble, but it's never like, oh, they hate me, I'm unsafe, this is dangerous for me. It's, no, I know that I'm loved, I know that I'm going to be disciplined appropriately, I know I got it coming, I just need to face this and deal with it, right? Does that make sense? Godly people trying to do right, every once in a while, will feel that kind of a feeling, but for the most part, they don't feel it. They're happy, they're safe, they want to be there, they know they're loved, it's all good. But sinners that want to live like the devil, when they're comfortable in church, something's wrong. Churches get split because preachers won't do anything about it. Why? Well, because Mrs. So-and-so is going to get mad if you deal with her little brat. Or her children are going to get angry if you deal with her and her misbehavior. I've seen adults act like absolute babies in church. I mean, drawing scenes. I grew up seeing it. I mean, making scenes out of themselves in church. You know what happens to the entire assembly? Everybody gets their attention pulled off of Jesus Christ and onto the foolishness. It is that whole service becomes all about the big baby. Do you realize that? And I'm just saying this because if you see it down the road, I want you to understand what needs to go on. And I had come to a point between me and God where the Lord said, you know, I was praying for years, God, please deal with this. These issues are getting bigger. These people are becoming more of a problem. These people are robbing other people's joy and frustrating the whole assembly. Please deal with this. And God finally said, Mike, if you aren't going to deal with it when I put you there to do it, if you're not going to grow up and be dad and do what you got to do, don't ask me to take care of it for you. And I found some verses that'll show it. I may show you some tonight. So it's like, you know what, scorner, we need to talk. And you first try to reach them. Amen. Every time you try to reach them. And if they're not going to be reached, you deal with them. I mean, really, I mean, the older I get, the bolder I get about some of this stuff. A particular person recently, I just said, oh, well, God wants me here. There's a lot to the story, more than I can tell you. I know for a fact God didn't want him here. I said, well, I don't think he does. Well, I do. Well, I don't, and I'm the pastor. So take your trouble somewhere else, because we have a very peaceful assembly right now, and people love being here, and you are nothing but a problem, and you proved it by your reaction to me when I told you that I don't think you fit here. If you would have said, man, preacher, I'm so sorry to hear that. Please let me know what I need to do to straighten this up. I'd have set up a few series of meetings with you. We'd have talked, and I'd have began to doubt myself and said, maybe I should give him a chance. But your arrogant, argumentative spirit proves you're still a scorner. Get out. They're staring at me. You're not going to scare me. I mean, even if you kill me, I go to heaven. So I don't care. I'm not going to scare. Get out of my office. Take your scorning attitude somewhere else. Why? You say, that's terrible. Some people want to stay simple. They're scorners. What happens when that happens? Any of you got children? More than one? How many of you walk out after dealing with one child? You walk out of the, you know, we try to deal with them, give them their privacy from each other. You know what I'm saying? When we're chewing somebody out, we make sure that it can come with me into our bedroom, and me and mom sit there, and we do the whole lecture thing, and it turns into, you know, an hour and a half of preaching service. And, yeah. And then we walk out, and the other ones are all like, Dad, are you happy? You know, you mad at me too? And should I be? You know, what you been doing while I was lecturing for an hour and a half? You know, it transfers. It transfers. How many of you ever seen people you went to high school wind up in jail? High school with wind up in jail. What'd that do to you? So God's going to use you one way or the other. God will use you to be an example to people, or God will use you to be an illustration. Do you know the difference between an example and an illustration? I don't want to be an illustration, but I sure would like for God to make me an example. A scorner is an illustration. So now what happens? We're probably only going to cover this one verse. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Hey, brother. How are you? This man drove all the way down from up north to be here tonight. Let's give him a hand. That grand entrance. You going to jail tomorrow?
Yeah.
With me, right? Okay. He's not going to jail. He's going with me. Pray for Derek. Glad you made it. I'll say, he was up north too. He said he went, Brother Johnny, he said he went to sit down at home. He's like, I better not sit down or I ain't going to make it. So he got up, came to church. Amen. That's good stuff. All right. Good timing. We just got done with the scorner. Now we're moving on to the simple. Proverbs 21:11.
Amen.
So what happens? So the scorner gets dealt with and he becomes an illustration. Now what God will do with that is he'll use the simple to say, uh-oh, wow, that was pretty bad. I don't think I want that. And the simple is made wise. So somebody goes from being a simple person to a person with some wisdom. Because the simple person, who's really not here or there, they're just kind of human. They got a human nature and a human spirit, and they're about human things. They're the natural man. They see something drastic happen, which was the whole point of the Old Testament law and the harsh judgments and the harsh penalties against sin. What God wants to do with that is he wants to grab the simple and shake them out of their simplicity and put some wisdom in their hearts. What happens? Some people get it. But honestly, sadly enough, not many. Nowadays, most people don't get it, and they either stay simple or they go on to be scorners. Watch this. Let's look at some verses. Go back to Psalms chapter 19. God is all about taking a simple person and making him a person with wisdom. And it's the principal thing. We've already seen that in Proverbs. Every Christian should say, I need, desire, long for wisdom. I need to study out wisdom and know what wisdom is. A simple person, Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise who? The simple. So God gives you the law of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord, the word of God, for what purpose? To make a simple person become wise. This morning we were preaching about shining forth, right? Last point. We're to shine forth who Jesus Christ is. And the text said, holding forth the word of life, they have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Remember that? You know why it's important for you to be a people of the book? You know why it's important for you to have some Bible memorized? It's important for every person in here to be able to say, well, you know the Bible says there's none righteous.
I'm not good at memorizing Scripture. Repeat after me. There's none righteous. That's brutal, wasn't it?
Think you can get that down? Funny to me, guys, you know, I'm not real good at memorizing, but they can tell you every name of every person on a football team. You know how many people are on the team. You know all this stuff about the plays and what they're doing. I'm looking at it like they just look like they're just like a bunch of big dudes. Boom. You know what I mean? That's it. I mean, it's kind of cool. It's like watching a couple of, you know, bulls. Bam, bam. I mean, I like it, but to me, it don't make any sense. It's just like, I don't have no idea what they're doing. Oh, what's the matter with you? You idiot. I'm like, call him an idiot? Go on out there and call him an idiot. You know what I mean? You do it. You can retain what you want to retain. Nobody in here is that daft that you can't remember there's none righteous. Can I just be honest with you without being mean? That's just a cop-out. I'm not saying you can memorize hundreds and hundreds of verses. I'm not saying you should have Psalm 119 memorized by next week. I would be willing to bet there might be one or two in here who could get Psalm 119 down in 2 weeks to a month. But not everybody. But you can remember there's none righteous. You can remember the Bible says it's not by works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith. You can remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why is it important for you to have Scripture on the top of your head, in your heart, in your mind, on your tongue, ready to deliver to somebody? That's important because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. When you give them Bible to a simple person, what's a simple person? According to this verse, it's a person who doesn't know the Word of God. They are simple. Do you understand? To me, somebody that doesn't know God does seem simple. I don't care how educated they are. I don't care how affluent they are. I don't care how influential they are. To me, when somebody doesn't know God and the Bible, I have an edge on them. Their IQ may be way more than mine. I still feel like I have the edge. And that's not arrogance. I'm not saying it like a tough guy, you know? I'm saying, honestly, I feel like when I'm dealing with a lost man, that there's a piece of me he doesn't have.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That I am seeing things he can't see. That I'm understanding things about him, about what he's doing, about why he's doing it, that he can't get about himself. Feel like, you know, try it sometime. Just look at somebody that looks very unhappy and just say, hey, can I give you something that'll show you what it means to have joy in your heart? You know what they'll do? They'll get in their car and they'll go, yeah, man, I am miserable. Now they didn't realize that. Until somebody who has joy in their heart capitalizes on that weakness. Now, what's that got to do with intellect? What's that got to do with affluence? What's that got to do with influence? Nothing. It's that you got something they don't have, and so you used to be simple, but now that you know the Word of God and where it is and what it says and who He is and how He works, you're not simple as you used to be. What are you doing? You're gaining some wisdom. Simple people are people that don't have the Word of God. Look at another verse with me, Psalm 116:6. This is very interesting to me. Because sometimes we get that haughty spirit, right? Like, I got something they don't got, you know? That's a fact. Do you understand that that's a fact? What I just told you about how I feel like I have the edge on them is a fact. When you get that fact with the wrong spirit, you become haughty. And now you're unable to help the person because you feel like you're better than them because you have something they don't have. Are you tracking that? Watch this about simple people. Psalm 116:6. The Lord preserveth the I was brought low and he helped me. You know something about simple people? They don't have the law of God, and God takes care of them. God preserves them. You know why lost people that ought to be in hell are still alive? God preserveth the simple. You know why God hasn't knocked your teeth out? Because sometimes we're a little simpler than we should be, and we do stupid things, and we don't really know better. We haven't read like we should, our own fault. We haven't grown like we should, our own fault, because we haven't sought him like we should. We're not growing as fast, but we're simple. We don't have enough of the Bible in us. We're simple. You know what God does? He preserves you. You know what God does for those people out there that don't know the law of God? Look at them. They just passed each other. I'm watching them. They're passing each other at 50 and 60 miles an hour. They're supposed to be doing what, 50? 55 out there? What is it, 50? I think it's like 85, something like that. Is it 45? See here, I thought it was 50 all these years. Oops. So it's 50? Is it 50?
It goes up and down right around here.
It goes up and down. That's what my speedometer does when I'm driving. So let's say it's 45. They're passing each other at 90 miles an hour, and they're within, what, 2-3 feet of each other, 4 feet of each other? How far apart are they, Dan? Do you know? You've run plenty of those. Was it 4 feet, 3 feet? At 90 miles an hour. Some kid today coming home was on his phone doing this, and all the way over in my lane, and he pulled it back just in time. I was watching him. I would have got around him, but I'm thinking, look at this idiot. Look at this idiot. Look at him. And he like all up at the last minute, like, oh, sorry. You know, sorry's not cool, man.
Right.
You almost head on me.
Right. Sorry.
No, that's not cool. Your Facebook post was that important? You know why they're alive? You think about that. They're out there doing 80 miles. I mean, 80 miles an hour on the highway, and they're running up on my tail like I'm standing still. And I'm in the fast lane because I'm passing. You can go up, you know, get up to 80 there to pass and get around the truck, and then you're supposed to get back over. You don't sit in the fast lane. You're doing 10 over, you know, but you're still not supposed to sit in the fast lane. You're supposed to get back over, right? So we're doing 80 miles an hour on the highway. They're doing 75 miles an hour next to me. The guy behind me is coming up doing 90, 95, flying right up on my tail, waiting till the last minute to hit the brakes. And when I was younger and didn't think about what things that could happen, I'd slam my brakes and then hit my gas real fast and watch them slam their brakes. But you got to think about that stuff. Don't do that. You know why? Because if he overreacts or swerves, he could kill somebody else's wife behind him, and the idiot's going to walk away from it, and somebody else is going to die. You don't mess around with that stuff. But you think about what's going on out there. Ask Dan what he's seen. Death traps moving at 80 miles an hour. And God gives them another day. And they're listening to filthy, ungodly music. They're looking at ungodly things. They're blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. They're heading out to a bar to pick up some drugs, or they're heading out to meet up with somebody to cheat on their spouse. I mean, think about all the kind of foolishness going on out there, and God lets them live. You know why? God preserveth the simple. Isn't that a blessing? So you and I ought to have the right attitude toward them. Look at something else about them. Psalm 119, verse 130. Simple people, they don't know the book. They're looked out for by God, because God wants to see him saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto what? It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know why you need the Bible? Because the entrance of thy words. That's why we say turn in your Bibles and read. That's why it's important to bring your Bible to church. The entrance of thy words. That's why we say read your Bible every day. Well, I'm not good at reading. I get that. Some people truly aren't. And I say that respectfully. So read 10 verses. Can you stumble through 10 verses? I'll give you a suggestion, the book of John. If you struggle with reading, the book of John is a great book to start in. The Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Fourth book in the New Testament. It's actually written on a very simple level grammatically. And it'll just give you Jesus Christ and a great view of who Jesus Christ is. It's a great book for a New Testament Christian. 10 verses a day. A chapter a day. Because the entrance of the words of God will give understanding to the simple. The simple needs to react to what they see. Just a couple more. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. So the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple, right? So without the entrance of the words, what is somebody? Can you work that equation backwards? Without the entrance of the words, what are they? They're simple. Oh, he's very educated. That's okay. I don't know, I don't think you want to debate him, preacher. He's really educated. It's okay. Bring him over here. Let's talk. Why? Because he doesn't have the word of God in him. He's simple. Don't let them get you rattled, especially college kids, man. They're a riot. They're a riot. They haven't seen enough life yet to really, you know, really, really have a lot down. They just know what their stupid professors have been saying to them. And their professors are just messed up, man. I mean, those guys are just all over the smorgasbord. They're just gone. Weird, man. Strange. I heard a couple of them talking not long ago, two professors. And I almost butted into their conversation, but they're up in their 60s, and they're irritating me. They're talking about Christianity versus Islam. You know, they're having a nice little intellectual discussion. And I was just so, and the Lord just said, Mike, don't waste your time. And I really felt like, I mean, they knew all about Christianity and all that stuff, but boy, that would have been fun. Amen, Brian? Brian tore up a few 40, 50-year-olds a couple weeks ago because he's got the Bible. It makes you wiser than your age. David said, I know more than all my teachers. Something along those lines. Because he loved the Word of God. The Bible takes you from simple to wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where does wisdom start? The fear of the Lord, right? So get the picture. We'll be done with this verse. I'm almost done. Get the picture. The scorner gets his teeth knocked out. The simple gets shook up because he saw what God did or what the law did. Take it all the way down to children. They see what mom and dad do when they cross the line. Right? They know they're in trouble. So it shakes them up. Sometimes it'll shake up the scorner and get him to get right. Other times it'll help the simple say, I don't want any of that. I just don't feel like disciplining my kids is really working because this particular kid, it's not working. You're not thinking about all the other kids. Maybe it won't work on one kid. I think it does. That's a discussion for another time. If you feel like that about a particular kid, come talk to us. Grace and I can give you some testimony. But you feel like it's not working, and it does with time. But don't forget that when you're inconsistent with one, that affects the rest. Because it's not just the child you're taking care of and trying to work on that's getting affected by what's going on. It's the other kids watching. And trust me, they see every chink in your armor. They see every inconsistency you have. Everyone. Those kids are the harshest judges on the planet. They don't have anything together themselves, but they notice any little thing that you don't have together. Amen. I mean, they couldn't even get out of bed without you. You realize that? They would go to school with a blue shoe and a black shoe and a pink sock and a red sock. They'd wear the same outfit all week when they're little. When they get older, it's all, you know, turns into all the primping and all that stuff. But when they're little, it's just their clue. They don't get it. But they will see everything about you that ain't right. So don't forget that it's not just the scorner necessarily that God's working on. God's using the scorner to work on the simple. So the simple sees this and fear sets in, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? You know what my dad used to say? He used to say, boy, don't you think God can put you in a wheelchair? Boy, that would scare me. You want to know something about God? I think he has a way of backing up godly parents who are praying and trying. If you're praying and trying, God has a way of backing you up. Why do you think I'm always getting into car accidents, hanging myself at 15 years old? I don't think anybody else here has ever accidentally hung themselves. Am I alone on that? Any other accidental hangings? I'm not saying some of you may have tried to hang yourself, but accidentally? I got the corner on the market. I'm waiting to meet the other person who accidentally hung themselves. That's God. That'll make you afraid of God. Pulling out and getting T-boned. That'll make you afraid of God. That'll shake a simple fool, a scorner, and an idiot out of his stupidity. And Christians nowadays don't think there's any judgment coming for anything they do. I gossip and I feel like, oh no. Yep, sure enough, the brakes are squealing. I shouldn't have been running my big mouth. Nowadays, Christians, oh, it isn't that. It isn't God. It isn't that. It isn't God. I wish I had your level of confidence in your sin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So God knocks the snot out of the scorner. So the simple person will start waking up and getting some wisdom. And then look at the verse. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Okay, so back in Proverbs 21. Hopefully we're putting the picture together. When the scorner's punished, the simple is made wise. So the simple begins to fear. That's why when you witness, you need to know some verses on hell. Because the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. Start bearing down on salvation sometimes on Sunday morning. When and if I do that, like I'm spelling it out like you're not saved and you don't know, it's because maybe the Holy Spirit's leading me or maybe somebody's here I'm not sure about and they need it. So amen me. Back it up. Listen to it. And you know it. You heard it. Let them know. They'll be convinced of all, Corinthians says. They'll be judged of all. Amen. Ain't it good to be saved? Amen. Because right, that person can't say it because they're not saved. And you can watch them. You can watch them. You can watch them start moving. You can watch them start running their mouth. I'm going to jump over this pew. Woo! Praise the Lord, man. Why? That's the Holy Spirit. That's power. That's God. Just trying to wake you up. Sorry about that. Took about 3 years off your life, huh? But what happens? Fear is supposed to set in. And when fear sets in, they begin the path down wisdom. Now watch. When a simple person responds to the fear, they're made what? Right. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that was the first wise move you ever made in your life. Before that, respectfully, you were a fool. Once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that was the first time you ever had any kind of biblical wisdom. Now what does God want to do? God wants to take the wise man and God wants to instruct him. When the wise is instructed, what does he do? He receiveth knowledge. We just saw it in Proverbs 9. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now you're going from wisdom, from being a simple person to a wise person. And as wisdom grows, it gains the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is understanding. You ever sat in church and gone, oh, I get it now? That's understanding. You ever read your Bible and, I never saw that, but now, oh, that just clicked. I've read that 50 times and I never got it. What's that? Understanding. That's what God intends to do in your life. He wants to take you from simple to wise, and from wise to understanding. And it's a growth process. So when you see a scorner get busted, it ought to shake you up. A simple person's made wise. Once you've got that, now you need to say, okay, God, I want to receive knowledge. He receiveth knowledge. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. You know, most Christians, I'm sorry to say this, I know for a fact people have sat in pews where I'm preaching for years and never got what I was saying. Just never got it. And I just scratch my head. I think, how in the world can you sit there for that many years? And I pour my heart out to you service after service, week after week, month after month, and in some rare cases, year after year. And you talked like you got it. You acted like you got it. But you never got it. I've had people leave after being in this church about 3 years and say, well, I never really agreed with you on this, that. I mean, talking important stuff. Not little stuff. Not like, I never really agreed with the color of your tie. You know, I mean, like, okay, whatever, you know. I never really agreed with the fact that you didn't pass the plate. No, okay, whatever. I'm talking about important stuff. Now, so how can you never get it? You know why? Some people are simple because they want to stay simple. Period. The Bible has a lot to say about the simple man. The harlot in Proverbs is calling out. What is she calling to? You simple. You simple. You simple. You simple. What God? Who's God calling out to? You simple. You know what a simple man has to do? He has to see the scorner and say, you know what? I don't think I want anything to do with that. Some of you kids, you need to pay attention to what happens to kids at school who are constantly in trouble. You need to pay attention to what happens to some of these teenagers who are punks. You need to pay attention to how miserable their life is. They're back-talking their parents and not doing what they're told. You need to pay attention. You need to get stinking scared. You need to get afraid of what's going to happen to you if you don't straighten up and follow the truth. Amen. You need to pay attention to that. You need to look for that. And you need to say, you know what? I'm not going the way they're going. You know what? You just became a simple person who saw what happens to wicked people and got some wisdom. And then with your wisdom, you'll be able to go on and gain knowledge. And with that knowledge, you'll really learn to shine as a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's leave it off there. All right, we'll stop there. We covered one whole verse tonight. Praise the Lord. That's amazing progress. But folks, that is a record, isn't it? Was that you? Praise the Lord. She's keeping track. Amen. But look, I want to grow. Don't you? God's working that in your life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So get wisdom. And when you get wisdom, receive instruction. And as you receive that instruction, you get to know Jesus better. There's clear paths. There's clear processes to it. And every person in this room can do it. Every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the instruction in the Word of God. We ask you now to help us to put these things to heart, Lord, and to pay close attention to our lives. Lord, maybe some, possibly, are scorners, just not really worried about you, don't really have a fear of you. I pray, Lord, you'd shake them up. I pray you'd shake them up so that they can become examples and not illustrations. Some tonight probably are simple. Help them, Lord, to knock it off and to see what happens to scorners and to get it together, so that they can begin down the pathway of wisdom and stop listening to the voice of the harlot calling out to them, the voice of the world, the voice of the scorners. Lord, those who have received wisdom, I pray that you'd help them to receive instruction, knowledge, and to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to get a hold of the hearts of our children. Help them to grow up, to love, and to serve you. Help the kids in this church to learn to love the Word of God and to receive it, so that they not be simple, but they can be wise. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.